all of us all in all the time. For you that are here for the first time today, I want you to know that this has been our theme through 2025, and our people here at Reinhardt have heard this emphasized over and over again. In fact, just recently I've had reference this theme in their texting to me or their conversation with me. It's a reminder to me that we learn by repetition. The more we give emphasis to something, the better chance that we have of learning that. Would you say this with me, please? All of us, all in, all the time. And I hope and pray that that is your desire, that that is your prayer for yourself and family. May you be thinking and praying regularly. Lord, help me, help my family to be all in with you. And what a blessing that would be if you would make that a regular prayer for those that you love. Most of us here today have made that initial decision to say yes to Jesus. We have decided to accept Jesus as Savior, and the challenge for us is to grow deeper in Him, to become more all in with our faith, and to serve Him with our life. I wonder, though, if there would be some, maybe even a few, who have not made that initial decision to accept Jesus. For some reason, you're holding off in saying yes to Him. You're procrastinating. Have you thought of this? To procrastinate is to say no to Him right now. You may have good intentions of someday saying yes to Him, but to procrastinate now is the same as saying no to Him today. And so I want to challenge you to give serious consideration to go all in with Jesus. This decision is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life, simply because it determines your eternal destiny. What you decide to do with Jesus here in this life determines the life that you will spend for eternity, either in heaven or in hell. That's why I say this is the most important decision ever. And so, for the next few weeks, I want to take a closer look at this decision for Jesus and see what God's Word has to say about it. Every so often, I think it's important that this kind of a series of sermons be preached just to make sure that those who need to hear it are hearing it. Now, I one of the most favorite things for me to do is to get into someone's home around the kitchen table and share with them from God's Word about this decision of accepting Jesus. But I know that there are some maybe a little uncomfortable with that. Maybe there are some that I just miss and don't get to experience that kind of setting. And so here on a Sunday morning, it's important every once in a while this kind of series of sermons is needed. And hopefully, if you're one who's never said yes to Jesus, you'll be here, you'll hear these sermons, and you'll respond to Him as He would want you to do. Now, the rest of us who have said yes to Jesus already, this is a review for us. And it's also a time that we should be praying that those who need to hear these messages would be here, and that God's Spirit and God's Word would work on people's hearts. God wants every person to be saved. And that's what we should want too. First, we need to understand that we are sinners. That simply means that we have broken God's law. God, in His Word, has a perfect way for us to live. The problem is, we haven't lived perfectly. We don't live according to that perfect way. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That doesn't leave anybody out other than Jesus. Jesus is the only person who has walked this earth into his adult years, and he never sinned one time. Hebrews 4:15 says that he was tempted to sin just as we are, and yet not once did he ever give in to that temptation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, speaking of Jesus, says, "He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth." Not only was Jesus perfect in his actions, he was also perfect in his words. Not once did he ever say a word that was out of line that he shouldn't have said. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? He's amazing. He is amazing. He is and was without sin. That's quite a contrast to you and me. Psalms 143, verse 2 says, "For in your sight, O God, no man living is righteous." 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46 says, "For there is no man who does not sin." I'll give you one more verse that has that same theme to it. 1 John 1:8, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Surely no one here would argue that they were not sinners. And if I tried to argue the fact that I was a sinner, the prosecuting attorney, who is the devil, could call my wife to the witness stand and he would ask her, "Has Kevin, your husband, has he ever been selfish in your married life?" You know what she'd say? Yeah. How many times you want to know? And he could call either one of my three kids to the witness stand and say to them, has your dad, Kevin Moyers, ever been impatient? Yeah. Case rested. It would be impossible for me to argue the fact that I am a sinner. I am guilty of sin, and probably the same could be said about you. We all have sinned. Who of us here has not been having bad thoughts at one time or another? Who of us here have not said words or done things that we regretted and wished that we wouldn't have said or done? We all have sinned. We all have missed the mark of God's perfection. My second point is this: there is a penalty for sin. And the Bible's very clear about this as well. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." In other words, what we earn for our sin is death. And yet, so many folks in this world think that they're going to earn heaven because of their goodness. That is a lie straight from hell. The truth is, we have no goodness inside of us. That's what Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says. One sin is enough to condemn us to hell. What we earn or what we deserve is separation from God for all eternity. Mankind is in a desperate situation, and there's no way that we could save ourselves from this hole that we have dug for ourselves. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The person who sins will die." And the scripture is very clear, and to this point in my sermon, it's a pretty dark message, but there is hope. Let me share with you the third point of this message. Jesus came to save us from our sins. I want you to see the entire verse, Romans 6:23. We looked at the first part just a moment ago. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the good news of the gospel. Paul said it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all, Paul said. I mean, thanks be to Jesus for his amazing grace. He paid the debt for our sins. That's what the cross was all about. And the fact that he had no sin. He didn't deserve that kind of death. And yet, because of his love, he chose to take the penalty for our sin upon himself. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says that he became poor so that we could become rich. No one has ever loved us like Jesus, and his grace is greater than our disgrace. There's one way to be saved. One way to be saved, and that is through a personal faith in Jesus Christ. If you ever have someone tell you that there are many ways to heaven, there are many ways to God the Father, a red flag ought to immediately go into the air for you. That is not true. The Bible says there is just one way to God the Father. There is just one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Hear me say this, Muhammad will not get you there. Buddha will not get you there. I think Elijah, just a few weeks ago, as he was preaching, he said of those two, their graves are occupied. They have no saving power. In fact, where they're at now, I don't think any of us want to go there. There is only one whose grave is empty, and that is Jesus. That empty grave gives him the authority to say this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through me. If he's the only way to get to heaven, it's important that we make sure we understand how to accept him as Savior. We need to surrender our lives to him. Let me mention my fourth point in this sermon. We must accept Jesus. Why? Because we've got a sin problem, and the penalty for sin is death. And so if he's the only way to get to heaven, if he's the only way to be saved from our sins, we need to know how to accept him. And it all starts with belief in Jesus. The golden text of the Bible, John 3:16. Would you read this verse with me, please? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The whole truth of the gospel is in that verse. That we need to believe in Jesus. And the invitation is for whoever would believe. If you're reading from the King James Version, it uses that word whosoever. All of us fit into that category. It doesn't matter what our skin color is. It doesn't matter what our nationality is or our IQ or how much money we have to our name. The invitation is given to whosoever would believe in him. We need to answer that call. We need to answer that invitation. And that is why we need to get the message of Jesus out there to the world. Because whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The world needs to know that God loves them enough that he gave his Son to die for them. And what we need to do in response to that love is to believe in Him. To believe in Jesus means to trust Him. It means to be persuaded of Him, to place our confidence in Him. Interestingly, this is a verb. You know what a verb is? A verb is an action word. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just acknowledge, oh yes, I do believe that Jesus is God's Son. We're gonna get to that. That's important for us to believe. But it's more than just head knowledge. It's having the right knowledge that leads us then to a response, to a surrender of our life to Him. It's a decision of commitment. Could I mention to you just some highlights of what we should believe about Jesus? And the first would be what I just mentioned to you, that we should believe that He is the Son of God, which is exactly what God said about Him. At His baptism, God said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We need to believe that He is the only way of salvation. And Acts 4:12 supports that as it says, "There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." And you know what else we should believe about Jesus? That He died on the cross for our sins and raised from the dead on the third day. And we have the scripture here, the words of the angel at the graveside of that Sunday morning when the women went. They were going to anoint His body with oil, but they saw that the stone was rolled away. There was an angel there on the stone. As they went inside of the tomb, there was an angel there, and the angel said this, "You are looking, why are you looking for the living one among the dead? He is not here. Just as He said, He has risen. Remember how He spoke to you while He was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Jesus fulfilled every prophecy about the Messiah, more than 300 of them. That's because He was and is the Messiah. He's the anointed of God, and we need to put our faith in Him. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one will boast." I'll say it again, it all starts with faith in Jesus. Listen to the testimony of John the Apostle, chapter 1 of his gospel, verse 12. "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name." In John 3, 14 and 15, we're familiar with verse 16. I think verses 14 and 15 are beautiful as well. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in Him have eternal life." John 5, 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." John 6, 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." There seeming to be a theme through the Gospel of John that what we need to do in response to the love of God in sending His Son Jesus to this earth is we need to believe in Him. We need to be persuaded about Him. We need to be convinced to the point of a response to him. And this is exactly why I will recommend the book of John to anyone who asks the question of me, where do I start in my reading of Scripture? There's so much here. Where do I start reading? I'll always answer that question with the book of John. Just go to John and read through the Gospel of John, and he will always point you to Jesus. One final passage from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 31. But these things, speaking of John's Gospel, these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. I'll say it a third time. It all starts with belief in Jesus. And so here's the question that you need to answer. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? I hope you do. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were in jail for preaching the good news of Jesus. But instead of having a pity party for themselves, they were having a worship service in that jail cell. They were singing praises. The jailer had never seen or heard anything like this before. There was an earthquake, the scripture says. The text says that the prison doors were shaken and the chains of all the prisoners had fallen off. And the jailer thought that the prisoners had escaped. And he drew his sword. He's about to kill himself because he knows that is going to be what Herod's going to do to him anyway for losing all of these prisoners. And before he thrust that sword into his belly, Paul realized what he is about to do. And he says, "Don't do that. We're still here." And the jailer was absolutely shocked that they had not escaped, that they had stayed there through all of that. And he called for the lights, and he ran to Paul, and he fell on his knees, and his question was, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, there's a question that should get our attention. Twice that question is asked in Scripture, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer to this question ought to get our attention. What must I do to be saved? And Paul's answer is in verse 31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you and all of your household, and you shall be saved." Randy Newton was a missionary to Brazil. He went into an area that needed the gospel. He began going from house to house. Every house had walls and gates around the house protecting them. He came to this one gate. He saw through the gate inside of the courtyard what he supposed to be the owner of the house. She was out in the courtyard, and he, to get her attention, she came to the gate. It was a woman. She lived there. And as she approached the gate, he said, "My name is Randy, and I'm just looking for people that I can tell the good news of God to." And she opened the gate and welcomed him. Randy began telling her about Jesus and what he came to do, that he came to bring peace and salvation to the world. He came and died on the cross and raised from the dead and offered salvation to every person who would believe in him. And this woman began to cry. She said, "I want you to know that today is my birthday. And 30 years ago, on my birthday, I knew there was a God, but I didn't know what to do. I just started praying, 'God, bring me somebody that would tell me about you.'" And she said, "Every year on my birthday, I kept saying the same prayer, 'Bring me somebody that will tell me about you.'" She said, "Today's my birthday. And here we are 30 years later, and you're here." And Randy answered her, "Well, I have something to say to you. Today is my birthday. And I'm 30 years old today." Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. God wants every person saved. He wants you saved. And if you're not, He's waiting on you. He's offered the invitation to you. Maybe He sent me to tell you how to be saved. For 30 years, God was preparing the way for Randy to grow up and be called to Brazil to get this one woman the message of Jesus. It makes me wonder, who in your world has God heard them pray and He's raising you up to take the message to them? Keep your eyes open. Keep your heart open. Have your tongue ready to share the good news of Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Now listen to me. Over the next few weeks, this is part one of a few other sermons that will come, because belief calls for a response. And He's looking for a response from you and from me. So I hope you'll be here over these next few weeks. But it all starts with believing in Jesus. Let's pray together. God, help us. Help us to be ready for heaven, for eternity. I pray that not one person here would miss heaven. Help us to believe. And help us to respond in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.